All right, guys, what I'd like you to do right now is I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 12. We are doing a series on meeting Jesus. We want to get to know him. And today, especially when we look at verses 27 through 36, we're going to focus on Jesus. We're going to get to know him. Now, why is that so important? Well, here's what I find. I know it's true in my life, and I think it's true for a lot of us, is that sometimes you and I, we just take things for granted. What do you mean I take things for granted? Well, I think one thing we take for granted is our salvation. We take for granted that we have a relationship with Christ through Jesus, we have forgiveness, and we just go about our everyday lives like, okay, yeah, I'm saved. But it really doesn't impact us. It doesn't really affect our everyday lives. In fact, sometimes we might go a whole week or more, maybe months, without even thinking about the fact that he saved me. So we take things for granted. One thing I know with that, not just with salvation, I think we take Jesus for granted. What do you mean we take Jesus for granted? Well, I think we know Jesus died for me. So we just know that. Jesus died for me. Jesus, when he died for me, he took my sin upon himself, and I have forgiveness. Yes, we know that. We know that with that salvation, we've been forgiven. I now have a relationship. Jesus didn't want me to be alone, so he gave me the Holy Spirit. So the moment I came to him in Christ, the Holy Spirit entered into my life. I have all of that knowledge, but I'll be honest with you, we take it for granted because I don't really think, when we think about him dying for us, that we really understand what that means or even what he went through in order for you to have the relationship that you have with him. I think sometimes we just take it for granted. And that's why, to be honest with you, why we're doing this series is because I want you to understand. So when we talk about Jesus dying for you, that's not just a theological statement that we throw out there that we agree with. Yes, I agree with that. I want you to understand the sweat, the blood that went into that statement. What he went through for you to have that. And I think we understand that. I think about it in everyday life, if you think about it, sometimes, okay, like if you have a loved one, you pour your heart into doing something for them to make sure that their day happens or this thing happens for them. And you are just, you are spending nights thinking about it. You're doing everything you can to make it happen for them so that it is perfect. And you're doing it to the nth degree for them. And then they get to enjoy that. But they just take it for granted. All that blood, sweat, and tears that you poured into that for them, right? Because you did it for them. And we're like that. We're like that special loved one that we do that for, not realizing what was done so that you could have it. So here you are. You're enjoying your salvation. You're enjoying the forgiveness. You're enjoying the reality that you can go to him in prayer. You're enjoying the hope that you have later on by being able to go to be with him when you die. But I don't think sometimes, I know it's true for my life, I don't think we think about what he did for us, what it meant for him, and what he accomplished that really benefits you and I. And we're going to get a glimpse of it here in chapter 12. So chapter 12 obviously is before, this is the week before he gets crucified. He's entered into the city in a triumphant entry, so this is on the Sunday, maybe even the Monday at this point. He's headed to the cross. He knows his hour has come. Before he said, my hour has not come. Now he's saying, my hour has come. And he is experiencing something because he knows what he has to do. And what he's going to do for you and I is real to him. I think sometimes we take that for granted. So I want you to notice with me. We're going to look at it. We're going to look at his struggle. We're going to look at the job that he has to do, the task that's at hand for him, and hopefully we'll understand it better. And hopefully with that, we won't take him for granted. So notice with me verse 27. This is Jesus speaking, okay? Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world is cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtakes you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. And while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. And these things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. All right, so first thing we're going to see is the struggle. Sometimes I think in our taking it for granted what Jesus does for you, we just kind of think like he's just kind of the superhero. He knows he's going to be crucified, so he just goes. He goes through that experience because he knows what he has to do. Well, the reality is that he is fully God, but yet he's also fully human. And when you're fully human, tell me, you ever have something to do and you feel anxious before you have to do it? You know, I was kind of reminded of that this week. You know, last Sunday we dropped our son off in Harrisburg for him to be able to ship out for his basic training for the Navy. So that kind of reminded me of when my dad dropped me off at Fort Jackson at the MEPS Center, and I had to go for my basic training in the Army. And the reality was, as I remember thinking about that first night in the barracks, thinking after I got my shower and I was going to the bunk, and then there, down the other end of the barracks, two guys from New York were talking to themselves, and I didn't know the drill sergeant was listening over the intercom, and all of a sudden three drill sergeants busted into there, and we're all PTing and into a sweaty mess, and then they told us to go to bed. Sweaty. And while I'm doing those push-ups and stuff, I'm thinking to myself, you know, why am I here? I'm very anxious right now. 6 miles outside of my base is where my mom and dad live, where my bedroom is. Why am I here? We have anxiety, right? About things that are coming before us that we don't truly understand yet, or we know that are not going to be a good experience. Jesus had that same experience. In fact, we see that right here in Scripture, verse 27. Now my soul is troubled. Why would he be troubled? Because he's got to go through it. Here's the point I want you to see. Jesus was emotionally burdened by the task at hand. So I want you to understand, when you and I think about being saved, when you and I think about the salvation that we have, the forgiveness of our sins, the hope that we have for the future, the relationship that we now have with God, it required a price. It required somebody to go through something very serious, and the person who's going to go through it, yes, he's God and he can do it, but he also is fully human, and with that, the emotions are there. Because he's going to have to experience that pain. And he's going to have to experience that death. And so he's emotionally burdened. We know that. Why? Because in just a few chapters later, when we get to chapter 17, he's praying in the garden. And he's what? Asking the Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass by. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. What's going on? That internal struggle of the humanity of him with what has to happen. And I think the blessing of this is even though he's emotionally on edge about what's going on, he's still determined to do what he's supposed to do. So Jesus focused on the task so that the Father is glorified. That's my next point there. He's focused on the task so that the Father is glorified. He knows why he's there. He's just going to go ahead and do it, even though the anxiety level is high. He's going to do it. Why? For you and I. For you and I. You. Me. Me, with all my warts, all my issues, all my problems, all my stuff, all my mistakes, all my shame. He's going to go through that. He's on edge about it. He's going to go through that because he loves me. He's going to go through that because